Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchik, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. This is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting, and I am here with a very, very special guest and friend today, Mrs. Shannon Bingham. Hey, Shannon, welcome to the program.
Hey, James. Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. Well, I was excited to interview you. You've been at some of our events in the past, but this is the first time on the SMB Community Podcast, so was excited to get the opportunity to interview you. But what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about marketing. We're going to talk about branding, you know, social media. But one of the unique things that many of you don't know about Shannon, and you're quickly going to find out, but she has won multiple beauty contests, the former Mrs. Nebraska, former Mrs. Central States. Mm-hmm. The list goes on and on and on. But she speaks all around the country for her cause. And I've always respected and appreciated that she uses her celebrityism, you know, or her platform really to push her cause, which is adoption. So Shannon, welcome. That we're going to talk about that, but I've got some background questions. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, cool. So give everybody a little background on you, where you grew up, you know, how you got to where you're at today.
Yeah, James, I'm a small town girl. So I was raised in Lenox, Iowa. So just about an hour and a half outside of my current home city, which is Omaha, Nebraska. So okay. Very Midwestern girl here. So, but I was raised on the farm, played in dirt that my dad drove a dozer to make ponds and terraces and learned real quickly how to run businesses. My mom said early on, she remembers a situation that happened where she didn't know where I went when a farmer showed up at our house to talk to my dad about something. And she said, lo and behold, I was handing him a business card that said my information for a babysitting. So, and I did end up babysitting for that farmer quite a bit. So,
wow. Wow. That's awesome. And then I think I might've left out already, but she's a super successful business owner, has owned multiple businesses, but I think 21 years now.
My current salon that I am at and I own with my business partner, Nikki Haney now, she is married. But we've owned for 21 years. We opened in 2004, which was pre-Facebook. So that was something that was very hard to build, obviously, at first, but we mastered it, got the word out, had a lot of like good connections in the city and was able to build a very strong culture early on. So it was really cool.
Yeah. Good for you. Congratulations on your success there as well. But give us a little background on why are you so passionate about adoption? Tell everybody your story, if you would.
Sure. So and for years, I knew I wanted to adopt. I've had a heart for kids since I was very little. I obviously was involved with Vacation Bible School. I taught Sunday school or 16 years old. I was doing that. So I've always had a really big heart for kids and moved into a scenario where we were working with even special needs kids. So I had a house that I worked at where I worked with those children as well. So it was very important to me to carry that through in my life to give back to kids. After a few years of trying to achieve pregnancy, about 8 years actually, we had started looking into it. Obviously, it was an option for us, but it was more of a first choice rather than a have to choice. We really truly wanted to do that. And then we started looking into it at the Nebraska Children's Home, went through some classes, and then honestly, 9 months later, he's in my arms. So I did adopt a baby boy in June of 2007, and he was actually due on 7/7/07, which is funny because my salon is 7. But he ended up being born a few weeks early, and that was okay because I was supposed to photograph a wedding that day as well. So it was like a big collaboration.
Easy day.
Wow. And he's here. He's 18 now. And we've white knuckled it, but he's an incredible dynamic child. And but anyway, so he's amazing. And it's been a heart of mine to give back to the adoption community, which is encouraged by NCHS, the Nebraska Children's Home. And they are great in the community when it comes to things with kids. So
what are some of the first things that you would recommend if somebody came to you saying, hey, I'm starting my journey, you know, you know, tell me what I need to know about adoption. What would you recommend to people?
I honestly would consider, I would say, very educate yourself. That's first and foremost. Educate yourself on all of the ins and outs. Know that it's a very scary place to enter into when you first start looking into adoption. You almost feel like you're shopping. It's very strange. That is not how it's supposed to be. I also say get the word out that you're actually talking about doing this, because it ended up being a customer of ours that found out about this baby boy that was looking to be placed in a home. And it actually was, so again, my client that was the one that found this child. And so we really truly think that getting the word out, and now especially on social media, that's a big deal. It was 06, you know, when we started looking. So Facebook still wasn't really, it was still kind of college bound at that point. So there was no social media to get our word out. It was literally just word of mouth and conversation.
Right, right. Wow, that's amazing. And where's a good place for people to, you know, what kind of resources are out there for people to tap into?
Sure. Well, and actually in the Midwestern region, the Nebraska Children's Home has great resources, but I know that nationally and internationally, it's a very broad spectrum. So you do your research on your programs and organizations and understand that there is a lot of money involved, unfortunately. But, you know, try to go for those nonprofits or even foster a child until, you know, they either get reunified with their parents or they are opt in to adopted. So there's various really strong on organizations, and then there's some that you should avoid. So do your research, do the background on the business and the organization, and make sure that it's a legitimate and not something that's scammy, because there is some of that out there.
Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on the difference between foster parents and adopting?
Absolutely. So when you're a foster parent, the children are usually taken from their original parents due to one situation or the other, and they're placed in a home for, I would consider, safety or just out of home for now, until they, and the goal is reunification with foster kids to their foster, well, it to their biological family. However, that's sometimes not always the case. So eventually, you know, if a parent is incarcerated, or if it's just down, their parent is just down a path of that doesn't come back to the kid, then the parents then can adopt that child. So there is a variation in that, because obviously, you know, with adoption, the baby or the child is yours from the get-go after they do the relinquishment papers. But if you are in foster care, there's no guarantee that that child will be in your home forever. You're just impacting that child for the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's probably the right way to look at it. It's, you know, you're there as a vessel to help them in that very moment, you know, because you don't know how long you're going to have them. And I can't even imagine, I can't wrap my mind around the emotions of, you know, being a foster parent. And then there's lots of emotions when you're adopting. You know, what was it like for you when you brought the baby home? I mean, just the stress of being kind of vetted out, because you have to apply, right, and qualify.
Yeah.
And I think yours relatively happened fast. You were very full. Yeah, right. Right. So what emotions did you have to deal with?
Okay. So we started our courses in October of 2006, and our courses involved like a bunch of panels, like adoptees, adopted children, and birth parents, and also adoptive parents. So we had a round table of about two other couples. And, you know, one of the biggest emotional journeys I think that happened was right then, because they had us imagine our perfect child, blonde hair, blue eyes, brown hair, green eye, you know, what is your perfect child? And then we were to envision it and then say goodbye. And I remember at that point, I was like, "Oof, this is heavy." And then one of the couples at our table, one of the women, the woman got up and walked out crying. So, you know, it was very overwhelming, because it is something that's so impactful and so much part of your heartstrings that you are overwhelmed. So then carrying down the road, you know, in December, I got a phone call from my client, Nancy, who said, "We have somebody that's possibly looking to place for adoption." And I was like, "That's crazy. And are you still interested?" And I'm like, yeah, but it's like, you feel like you're signing over. You're like, okay, hold on. This is people now. And then you've got to go through that like acceptance And then you get the birth mom and she has my number for 4 months and doesn't call me. And that emotion of, well, maybe it's not happening. He's due in June and it's now April. And then she calls. And then it's like, oh gosh, now I got to go meet this girl. And she, what's she like? She going to hate me, love me, whatever. Had ice cream with her. It was great. She's, you know, 17 and a half, maybe 18 when I met her. And I give her so much credit because she is a really strong woman. But, you know, we had that instant kinship. We both named him on the spot that day. And then just moving forward into June, I took them both to the hospital. The birth dad and the birth mom were both involved. All of the family was in that room, including biological grandmothers, grandfathers, great-grandmothers, aunts. They had, back then, you could have a lot of people in the room for delivery. So I was in there. I photographed it. And my Joe, the Seth's dad, actually was able to videotape it. So we really had a very unique situation. But then there's the waiting period after, because we were in the hospital with them and then had to go home.
Okay.
They were left there at the hospital with baby Seth, and knowing that they could change their mind, they have 48 to 72 hours. I think it's 48 hours to change their mind. And so that waiting period, I came in the next day and I remember seeing them, you know, just playing with him on the bed and stuff. And they're like, oh, here's your mom. And I walked in and I'm like, oh, okay. That made me feel a little bit better. But, and then by Friday I had people texting me saying, or calling me at that time, because texting wasn't really a big thing then, but they were saying, you know, they're signing the relinquishments right now, because we had taken him home already. I didn't want anyone around at first because I wanted that bond time to happen. I didn't want him to be confused. Yeah. So there's a lot of emotions that come into it, but quite the journey.
Yeah. Wow. What an exciting story. So well, anyway, thank you for all that you do out there for the community. I know you've helped the state of Nebraska from a legislation standpoint, and you're always advocating, you know, people making the right choices. And I love that. So thank you for that. And I have to ask, because you are a marketing wizard as well, obviously, with not just with what you've done with your salon, because that's so successful, but, you know, just from branding in general, you're such a strong influencer. You've got quite a following. Maybe, you know, before I let you go, can you elaborate a little bit on maybe some marketing tips through social media that small business owners should pay close attention to?
Absolutely. It's changing so fast right now, especially with the influx of AI. I would recommend educating yourself wholly and understanding that the algorithm is never going to be anything you can figure out. So I post what I love and I post what I want to say and I post for impact. If something catches fire, it'll catch fire. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I've had things go viral. I have one video that's over 1.1 million views. And to be honest, that was a because at that point you have a lot of what I call bots that go onto your page and haters or whatever. And like, congratulations, you have hecklers. It's pretty tough to watch because they all have. So it's good and bad to go viral. My biggest thing is value. What am I adding to the social media platform? If it's value, people are going to follow you if you're viral or not. Right. So, and honestly, it's the people that I want to impact that are on my page that that care about my platform, care about my visuals. So I think that's important to kind of feed into that. So if you know your audience really well, which you go into your insights and you really find that out, you know that audience really well, then you can play to that very easily and be real and authentic. I think a lot of times your authenticity comes with your voice and your vulnerability. So if you're vulnerable and your voice is being used, they get it and they can relate and then they can tap into what you're doing. So I think ultimately you're going towards vulnerable, value yourself, like integrity, authenticity as much as you can. And then just showcasing what you've got. People have to be told at a fourth grade level.
Yeah.
It was like thinking that they need to be up here in their conversations. And really it's just about the basics. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I like that. You know, keep it simple. Mm-hmm. So a couple other questions. So I don't know if there's any kind of formula or ratio, but you know, from reels to stories to just standard posts, what would you recommend for a small business owner?
Sure. I actually have somebody that manages my business at this point. Okay. Not my personal stuff, but my business, because it is a full-time job when you're doing that. So I always recommend finding somebody that's been alongside you along the way and understands. I picked a girl out that had come back from Hawaii and I had watched her stuff and she's strong on social media. I'm like, you've got to do this. And she thought I was going to ask her to do hair because she was a hairdresser. I said, no, 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 no. I want you for social media. She has done it ever since. So it's kind of cool.
Oh, okay.
But ultimately with your business and the formula, I would just say, you know, keep consistency at the top and the foremost and tell them what you do and how you are or what you're showcasing, because the reels have to be catchy in order for people to stay on them. So you got to tell them in the first 15 seconds what's happening or else they're gone. Sometimes even the first 3 seconds, to be quite honest. So the posts, the things just need to be consistent. They need to know that you're showing up every day. Your bubble in Instagram needs to have a ring around it saying there's something on your story so people want to click through it. If you disappear even for a week, people think you're gone or off the platform or you've sold your business. It's absolutely necessary to stay consistent. So
consistent. Yeah, that's great advice. And then what platforms are your favorite? What do you think is good for business?
So many different reasons for so many different ones. Let me just say that. Facebook is for the grit, man. You've got all of your old school people and fun people. And I think they really celebrate, you know, what you're doing a lot on there. Instagram's a tougher crowd, but that's your cool factor. That's your niche. That's what your offering is. You have things like LinkedIn, and that is something that's growing really fast. Or especially influencers. So I think that's necessary to be on LinkedIn. I'm trying to think of the other ones. Twitter I go to for politics and news. And so if I'm jumping in on anything like that, I would probably say that's important for Twitter or sports. But there is a value there. I'm talking currently right now to a potential senator, and he is talking about how he just went viral on Twitter for something. And I was like, wow, that's impressive, because in Twitter land, you are buried unless you're doing something crazy with what you're saying. So
right.
There's a lot of different ones, and they're all good for different reasons. So,
yep. Good point. What about TikTok or YouTube? Do you do anything there?
TikTok is the real. Like, that's like where you're going to find out that person's personality. That's got to be, you know, you're vacationing, you're telling it like it is. Like, that's why you see so many influencers come to light, because they're talking about maybe their skin problems and all of a sudden 100,000 followers because they all have the same skin problem. So I think it's just who you really are is on TikTok, and the fun, you know, it's more for fun, I think. But but I do absolutely love TikTok for that. It's becoming kind of a playground for sales, though. So I think people are kind of a little turned off by that. So you have to be careful with if you're dabbling in that. So.
Yep. Okay. Excellent. Yeah, that's you've got great posts. I'm glad to hear that you get some help, because I know you've got multiple accounts, multiple businesses.
I run about 9. So 7-1 is the only one I've let go of, and I still like sometimes kind of dabble in it with her a little bit, because she will need some guidance here and there, but she's great, so I can release it to her. So
for any of your fans out there that want to follow you, which account should they follow out on social media?
Oh, gosh. Well, whatever platform you play on the most, you're going to want to follow them all. But I can obviously send you my link tree, so it gives them like every access to me as possible. You have to be careful, obviously, with who you allow on. But at the same time, that's what social media is for, is to interact. So I'm a fan of Facebook. It's very conversative. Whereas Instagram's a little more, hey, like my picture. But, you know, I think LinkedIn is great for reacting to different types of things that we're doing in the community. And I think that's important too.
Yeah. And did you ever need to do anything to build your audience? I mean, you've got a huge following on all platforms, on all your accounts, but did you ever put lead magnets together to kind of build your audience, or did you ever have to do that?
That's a tough one. I think that I grew very organically on my stylist page very quickly. I think I have like 12,000 followers there now, which is not a ton, but they're solid and they wanted to see me. So again, I'm not about virility. I'm more about value and vulnerability. So if you are, you know, getting the interaction on those 12,000 fans or whatever followers, then that's important. But that one's the one I grew really organically that went fast. Like every day it was like a jump in our, especially when that one went viral. So my personal page took a little longer to promote, because it's family. It's, you know, it's stuff that sometimes everything's too perfect. So it's important, again, to create that value in those type of things. So now I'm sitting, I think, at like 8,000 on my personal. So I'm managing those big accounts on both sides, and that's on Instagram. And then on TikTok, I think I'm at 10. So
Okay. And I think I know the answer before I let you go. I have to ask this, but because you have so many accounts on so many different platforms, you feel it's okay to mix content, right? You know, post the same images.
No. Yes and no. I will try things out across all platforms to see how each does, and they'll all do differently at different times of the day. Right. So I do tend to post a little bit differently between each platform if I can, which is a lot of like mental jumping jacks, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But it is important to understand your audience again and understand what you're adding to the value of what you're doing on those social media platforms. So if your following is a bunch of like women who really appreciate over 40s clothing, then I'm not going to post anything about, you know, my business on there too much, but my business now has clothing. So that's important to be intertwined. So it just depends, you know, you got to know your audience.
Yep. No, good point. Good point. Awesome. All right. Well, we'll post your contact information out there. So if you don't follow Shannon today, make sure you do, because she's got quite a following, and I love the content that you put out there on social media. So we'll get that posted up there. But thanks for being on the program. It's so nice to see you again. And what's coming next for you? What are you out about doing?
So I don't know if this hasn't been like released yet, but I'm joining forces with the Youth Emergency Services. So I'll be doing Dance for a Chance coming up in October. Oh, so I'm going to get myself a little, an instructor, and we're going to do a little Dancing with the Stars kind of thing apparently in October. So I don't know how that's going to go. I used to dance, but it's, you know, obviously I'm 47. So we're in a different world now. Yeah. So that's coming up. And then the pageant that I'm going to be competing in will be at the end of next month. And currently right now, NCHS is having the launch for the shoes for back to school for kids. So post and tag them where you're walking, and you can enter to win a $150 gift card to Shield. So those are the things I've kind of got in a package right now. But holy moly.
I'm honored that you were able to squeeze in the podcast here in your busy schedule. You're always on the run.
It's fun.
All right. Well, good to see you. Thanks again. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you, James, for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.